Hey guys, this is Lisa Farr from the Music Spring on the Jazz Spotlight with Jan Ilunga.
Episode 47.
Welcome to the Jazz Spotlight, the podcast that gives you the insight and tools you need to be in the music industry today. Artists, authors, and top music industry experts give you actionable tips that will help you promote yourself the smart way. Here's your host, Jan Ilunga.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Jan Ilunga here from thejazzspotlight.com on the podcast for the 47th episode already. Time really flies when you're having fun. And today is definitely going to be a fun episode. But not only we're going to have fun, but we're also going to get plenty of value. Like every episode, there is another great guest here. And I can't wait for you to hear about all the great things she has to share with us. But before we go more into that, you know what's coming. I always want to take a moment to personally thank the people that take the time to help me and the podcast by leaving reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. So today I want to thank My Real Salt and I think you pronounce this Lovable 37. Guys, thank you so much for your nice reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. I really appreciate your help. And if you're podcasters, I wish you all the best with your shows. Or if you're simply music fans or maybe you're musicians, I hope you're gonna rock. Okay, so guys, today we're gonna talk about music entrepreneurship. So we're gonna go back to the business side of music. Maybe you remember on episode 29, we did that with a great music industry expert, Dave Cusack, who was here on the podcast, and he told us more about the new artist model and music business. Today we're gonna talk about music entrepreneurship with none other than Lisa Farr. In case you don't know who Lisa Farr is, she's a music entrepreneur, a music industry expert, and she's also the host of the music business show, The Music Spring, where every episode she has great guests. And it's cool because it's not only a podcast like this, but it's video, so you can actually see Lee and her guests as they discuss different topics like promotion, merchandising, and a lot of great other things. So, like always, you can find the links to all the things Lee and I talk about here in this episode at thejazzspotlight.com/episode47. Here is Music Entrepreneurship with Lisa Farr of The Music Spring. Enjoy. Hey guys, I'm here with another great guest for this episode, and I can't wait to introduce her to you. We're going to talk about music entrepreneurship and, you know, how musicians should think about today, how they should think about themselves. And we're going to also talk about the importance of technology and the use you should do of technology as a musician. Where can I start from? Well, she's a music entrepreneur, and she's also the host of the Music Spring. And if you guys haven't checked it out yet, the first thing you have to do is head over to themusicspring.com and check it out, because she has great guests every episode. She's a great host, and they talk about sensational things. And some of the things are things about today, but some of the things are also about the tomorrow, so the next big things. It's with great pleasure that I welcome on the show musician, music entrepreneur, and peanut butter lover, Lisa Farr. There she is. Hey, Lee.
What an awesome introduction. Hey, Jan. So great to be here.
Hey, it's my pleasure. You know, I usually always start and ask the guests, how did you get started in the music industry? But there is a question that I have to ask you first.
Yes.
And it's about Red Feather clothing line.
Wow.
And, you know, accessories. Because I follow Lee on Twitter at Lisa Farr, and also the Music Spring at the Music Spring. And I saw that there are big things coming up. Yeah. And one of those is Red Feather. So can you tell the listeners a bit more about that?
Yes. So Red Feather is symbolic between my fans and I as the spiritual journey that we've been on. When I was trying to figure out how I was going to proceed in my journey in life. I started to discover different things about, you know, for example, choosing and wanting. And, you know, a long story short, if anyone wants the long story about this, you can go and have a look at any of the Miss Lee Live fan interviews that happen on my YouTube channel, and you'll get the long story of what red feather means. But the short story is that it represents the difference between choosing and wanting. And for any artists that are looking to understand how to create and build the life that you choose and have a successful career, it's all about choosing your life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my fans and I have a very intimate relationship around that. We talk about the different things that, I guess, that we've, our fears. We talk about what our fears are in life, mm-hmm. and we talk about what some of the challenges are. And so through that journey and through me explaining what red feather is, which is you taking ownership of your choices and being very deliberate in those choices so that you do build the life that you choose. And it's a simple exercise. Again, it's a long story, so go and have a look at the Miss Lee Live interviews. But essentially it's the red feather exercise where you pick an inanimate object in a color you don't really see it in, and you make the statement, I choose R, and the object, and then the color you see it in. So when I did this for the first time, I had just read a book called Conversations with God that talked about choosing and wanting. And I have a science background. I have a degree in genetics. So I wanted to test whether that was right. So I devised this little experiment and I decided to say, I want a red feather. And it never showed up mm-hmm. until I said one day, I choose a red feather. And a couple of weeks after I made that statement, I was walking on a street in Newtown here in Sydney, and I saw this little boy getting on a bus. He was just 2 years old. And all of a sudden he turned around and he let go of his mother's hand as he got on the bus, and he stepped off the bus and ran up to me and handed me a red feather.
Mm-hmm.
And then smiled at me and ran back and got back on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, after I burst into tears, I realized that this was something very important. So the red feather is very symbolic of that journey for me and for my fans. And my fans have been doing the red feather exercise for a few years now, and they've seen their lives flourish into their dream life,
mm-hmm.
much like mine has. And so I decided to create this clothing line that was something that was representative, like a badge of honor for all of us to wear with pride.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where the clothing line was built from. So, yeah, it's amazing that we have something that unites us all as a group of people who are championing our own lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, it's very inspiringly listening to you. And as I was listening to you, to this story that you were telling us, you know, one quote came to my mind that somehow relates to it, at least for me. And it was, you know, the best way to predict the future is to create it.
Absolutely.
I don't know why, but that came to me when you talked about the difference between choosing and picking. And guys, Lee and I are going to talk about choosing today quite a lot.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in a direct way, but you will understand more as you listen to us. And one quick note. Lee and I will talk about quite many things. We're going to mention quite many different, you know, links, websites and stuff like that. But don't worry. You don't need to take notes, because everything will be included in the show notes. So you can just sit back, relax, enjoy this episode, and you can then find everything back there in the show notes. And, you know, if you are curious to learn more about that, make sure to follow Lee. she's pretty much everywhere on social media. My favorite place to follow her is Twitter, because it also integrates with her Instagram, and she shares some very cool pictures and sometimes some funny stories that, you know, I'm just laughing by myself, and people might think, okay, what's wrong with that dude? But, yeah, really.
I have a very blessed life, and I have some very extraordinary things that happen in my life, so I'm very grateful.
And I'm sure that, you know, you have a positive impact on the life of many people also through the Music Spring, your show. I'm a big fan of that. I mentioned already the musicspring.com. That is maybe the easiest way to find the Music Spring, mm-hmm. even though you can find it also in other places like SoundCloud. You guys also have the podcast version, because for those of you who don't know, Music Spring, it's a video cast. So you can actually see Lee and her guests as they speak. And they also have the podcast. So if you are going for a walk or working out or whatever, you can still enjoy the tips and sometimes the bombs that Lee drops.
Yes, I'm known for my F-bombs.
So Lee, I kind of gave a short description of the Music Spring, but can you tell the listeners more about the Music Spring and why they should definitely check it out as soon as they're finished with this episode of the podcast?
Sure. The Music Spring is a music entrepreneur show. And we believe that anybody who's chosen to be an artist releasing music and trying to forge a career in the music industry needs to start positioning their mindset to become music entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. But we also understand that even if you go to college or university to study music, you aren't prepared for being a small business owner. You aren't prepared for entrepreneurship. And the difference between a small business owner and an entrepreneur is that an entrepreneur is somebody who pioneers in a space, in a business space that hasn't really been established yet. Mm-hmm. And who better to be entrepreneurs than creative people? The reason that artists are entrepreneurs is because we exist in a very interesting time in the history of music business. It's open slather. We don't have major record labels controlling the industry anymore, and we don't have radio or any of those other kind of mediums dictating what people should listen to and what they shouldn't listen to. Mm-hmm. So everything is pretty undefined at this point. There are some great things that are coming, and the Music Spring is helping to create a foreground that is going to help artists monetize those situations and help position the industry to start getting profitable again. We have some awesome things in the pipeline with some strategic technology opportunities that we're working very hard on. But until that happens, what we need artists to do is just open their minds to the idea that they are small business owners that are entrepreneurs. So creative business people, essentially. And why this is important is because we're in a time where the barrier to entry into the music industry is so low that it's created saturation. Mm-hmm. What we need is a mechanism to help the cream rise to the top. And further to that, we need a mechanism that helps people make the decision to leave the music industry if they haven't got what it takes to be music entrepreneurs. We need to find a way to help people make that decision quicker, because there are some key elements that artists who do become music entrepreneurs need to have before they can make a strategic decision.
And, you know, I have to ask you, because you come from a musical background. You have been and you are a musician yourself. You have released few albums. You have performed not only in Australia but also
internationally. Yeah,
internationally acclaimed festivals like South by Southwest. So I have to ask you, how was your transition, you know, from kind of being only a musician to becoming a music entrepreneur? And how do you think people that are now getting interested about what we're saying, they can go through similar transition?
I think that something that's really important for artists to understand is that your DIY phase of your music career is really your training ground. It's such an important rite of passage into music entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
And what I feel is happening, that so many artists are feeling so frustrated in that space, you know, when they are in the DIY phase. What I'd like to see is more artists being excited about the fact that they have a DIY phase, whereas in the old model, they didn't have that. In the old model, everything was run by major record labels and you really didn't have any say over the way that your career was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
The important reason that the DIY phase exists, it helps you decide whether this is something that you can do for the next 10 years before you start to turn a decent profit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a place and a space for you to start testing your sound. It's a place for you to start identifying different mentors that you might want to work with in the future. It's a way for you to test different business models. It's the place you can make mistakes when it comes to fan engagement. And your following isn't that big that you could bomb your career if you do say something wrong on social media.
Mm-hmm.
If you try and get too big too quickly, the steeper the curve is on the way up, the steeper it is on the way down. So what I recommend to artists who are entering a DIY phase, go get a part-time job, work as little hours as you need to support the lifestyle that you've chosen to have, and a little bit extra so that you can start contributing funds to building your music career, and then spend the rest of your time working day and night on your craft and on your business. But it's important, it's so important for you to remove that factor that keeps you hungry, that keeps you not paying the rent. It keeps you from paying your bills. There is nothing sexy about being poor.
Mm-hmm.
Go and get a part-time job. If you do remove that pain that comes with that, if you do remove the stress that comes with being poor, it opens you up to be more creative. It opens your whole being up to being able to see the opportunities that come your way. You know, this is part of that whole red feather exercise. What do I need to keep me happy?
Mm-hmm.
The red feather philosophy is all about authentic happiness. I would like to see artists move away from this rock star philosophy of, I've got to be really poor before I can make great art. That's fucking ludicrous.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many ways to access that darkness. You don't have to be an irresponsible human being who doesn't pay their rent or who doesn't feed themselves in order to be an extraordinary artist.
Yeah. You know, you nailed a couple of very good points, and I want to comment on, awesome. On at least a few of those. And I think that the very good starting point to start my comment on what you said is this, that musicians aren't kind of trained or familiar with the music business, with the business side of music. They can know everything inside out about their instrument, about melodies, about whatever. But when it comes to business aspects of the music industry, they may not be familiar with those. And I think that's also one of the reasons why it can get frustrating or overwhelming for independent musicians, because they are doing do-it-yourself way, as you said, and they try to do everything themselves. They try to craft their website, promote on social media to get gigs, and, you know, craft videos for YouTubes, and they read about this, how these independent musicians are doing great things, are monetizing with YouTube, are getting money through crowdfunding campaigns. And then they look themselves in the mirror and they're like, okay, why that's not happening to me? And they get frustrated and they want maybe to give up. They want to change industry. So I think that you had a very good point when you said that, you know, there's nothing sexy about being poor. If that's what if you need a part-time job, go and get one.
Absolutely.
If you need a full-time job, go and get one and start to work on your, you know, on your dream, because you should chase your dreams, but start to work on that, on those little by little, an hour per day, on weekends, at nights, whenever it fits for you. And then you start to build it little by little. And nowadays, you know, as Lee said, the barrier of entry is really low, which means that there is competition. Everyone has access to, you know, social media, crowdfunding opportunities, whatever. And that's where you have to learn the right way to promote yourself, to use the tools. And that's why, again, I want to recommend you to check out the Music Spring, because every episode deals with specific aspects. And sometimes it's publicity, like, you know, how to go from do-it-yourself to pro. Sometimes it's engagement and building a fan base. Sometimes it's about the technology and the, you know, the crowding of social media, how to cut through the noise. Sometimes it's the challenges of the music business. So, you know, you can find some great things there. And I hope you also will finally choose, as Lee said, you know, between you will go for choosing and choose to actually start to chase your dreams. But I'll dare to say in a smart way, because as Lee said, once again, I want to quote it, there's nothing sexy about being poor, definitely. And you know, you mentioned the low barrier of entry, and I also mentioned the low barrier of entry. And on one of the episodes, you and your guests talked about that and about the, you know, the fact that nowadays everyone has access to pretty much every tool available or most of the tools available. And what do you think lies the challenge in that sense for artists? How can they, you know, cut through the noise?
I think that the key is for artists to understand that there is no magic formula, and they need to create their business model for themselves. And at the core of that is their relationship with their fans. Building an authentic relationship with the people who understand your music is core to building a successful business in today's new music industry. And if you're not prepared to put the effort in, and it's a lot of effort, it's a lot of hours, if you're not prepared to put in the effort to do that, get out of the music industry now. There's no shortcut to that. And if you're looking for some magic pill, it doesn't exist. I'm here to tell you it doesn't exist. You need to build those fans one at a time, and don't base the core of that, capturing that, shouldn't be on social media. It's important to engage and create new fans on social media. That's the perfect thing about the new music model. Our access to our fan base is unlimited, and the opportunity to access new fans through social media is very exciting. And it's why there's never been a more exciting time to be a part of the music business. However, once you've captured those people, an important part of the next step of growing your business is to get those fans onto your mailing list. And the reason it's important to get them onto your mailing list is because you own the data on your mailing list. You own those email addresses. You've got their permission to get them on your mailing list. However, you don't own the information that's on your social platforms, Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and Google and all those people. They own your data, and they are monopolizing on you building your fan bases, and they're taking all that data. So we don't want artists to be missing out on important opportunities to build their businesses by missing this really important but small step, or easy step, of just saying to your fans, hey, why don't you jump on my mailing list? I can communicate with you more frequently, and we're not limited by Facebook reach limitations. You know, if I send you an email, I know you're going to see it, and you're not going to miss any important information. So this is something that we want to see artists do more of, because it just increases engagement so much. And it's proven really, really valuable to a lot of the people that come and ask us for advice at the Music Spring.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, if you've been with me before, you probably heard some of the past guests who also have emphasized the importance of building an email list. So once again, if you guys don't have one yet, make sure to build one. And it's very easy. You don't need any particular programming skill, or you don't need to be a wizard. You can do it. And there are many tools out there, very cheap, some almost free. The one I use is called Aweber, and you can try it and sign up for just one buck if you go to thejetspotlight.com/getaweber. And if you just missed this link, don't worry, because it's going to be in the show notes. And I think that, you know, there is even more to what you said, Lee, because I think that the power we have today as people in the music industry is not only for, you know, engaging with our fans and followers, but also to connect with like-minded people like you and I are doing right now.
Absolutely.
To connect with people, you know, I don't want to say kind of vertically and horizontally. It sounds vertically somehow. It sounds very weird, but yeah. I hope you guys get my point that you can really connect with, you know, with your colleagues, with people you admire, with people that you've always dreamed to reach out to, but for some reason you haven't. And I think it's a great thing. And Lee, do you have a couple of other maybe networking tips for the listeners of the podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. With regards to the mailing list thing, I just wanted to add a free service that is fantastic is MailChimp.
Mm-hmm.
It is just awesome. And I'd recommend that you guys go check it out. We don't have an affiliate with MailChimp, so this isn't a paid, you know, plug.
Mm-hmm.
I genuinely think that MailChimp is a fantastic service, so go check it out, and it's free. And also go jump on the Music Spring mailing list so that we can keep you up to date on what shows we're having every week, and we can help you connect with the people who come on our show that are able to give you the advice that you need. Further to that, we're going to be announcing some amazing opportunities. And when it comes to networking, that is fundamentally what is going to expand your whole business. And the opportunities that we have coming up on the Music Spring are all based around that. So the idea is that we want to help artists connect with the people in the music business who we feel have at their core the same values that we have as at the Music Spring.
Mm-hmm.
And where that comes from is that me personally and in all the businesses that I run, fundamentally we believe that the intention that you bring to your business is the same intention that you'll attract from people to your business. And so when building your network, you can only expect your network to be as good as what your intention is for your business. So if you're an artist who is really competitive and who doesn't put any effort into, you know, building really great relationships, you can't expect that the people who come into your network are going to be any better at doing that than you are.
Mm-hmm.
So building a great network starts with understanding what your core values are and understanding what you're bringing to the table as an artist. And when you understand what that means, that's when you can start to get a better understanding of who the fans are that you're going to be attracting into your business, and also who the business contacts that you're going to be able to attract into your business are. So that when you go to a local venue and you are starting to introduce yourself to the people there, if you're professional and you're dealing with professional people, they will welcome you into their network. But if they're professional and you're not professional, you're going to be repelled from that network. So what is important in building a really great, solid network is understanding who you are, how you want to get better at being a professional, and then going and finding the people that can help you do that. And once they do help you do that, that's when you can go and make business relationships that will just make your business thrive. Your network is everything, and your business can only be as good as the quality and the integrity of your network.
Amen, Lee. I couldn't agree more.
Thank you.
And you know, guys, we're talking now about networking, so this is what I want you to do. First of all, create an email list. You can use MailChimp. Thank you, Lee, for suggesting that. It's actually one of the best services around with AWeber. So that's up to you. Check MailChimp, check AWeber, whatever, and there are other services. Whatever works for you, just start an email list. And second thing, head over to themusicspring.com, subscribe to the newsletter, and while you're at it, stop also on Twitter @themusicspring connect with them, say hello, send them a tweet, a shout out, whatever. Thank Lee for her advice here on the podcast. And also, I think that the importance of, you know, what Lee said, she talked about being professional and, you know, being a professional with a network. I think it's also something that you should keep in mind. First, be a professional. And second, the point of Lee about, you know, you want your fan base to kind of be a reflection of the values you have and the things you do. And you know what? It's fine not to, you know, you don't want to have a million fans that are not in line with what you're doing. It's better to have 100 that, you know, are on the same wavelength, and they're going to be there for you, and you're going to be there for them no matter what.
Yes.
This is my tip.
I absolutely agree with that.
All right. And really, Lee, thank you so much for all the great tips you have shared with us. And I also want to kind of mention your musical aspects as a, not only as a music entrepreneur, but also as a musician, as a singer. So, guys, I would like you to check out leesafar.com to follow Lee and, you know, to see the great things that she has done, to find out more about her latest CD, Laundry After Midnight. I love the title of the CD, and I have to ask you, where does it come from?
Well, it was actually a fan that named it. It was my last night before I moved back to Australia from having lived in LA for 2 years, and I had a flight at 7 o'clock in the morning, and it was half an hour after midnight, and I still hadn't done my laundry. And I just tweeted Laundry After Midnight, and one of my fans tweeted back the upcoming album by Leesafar.
You see, sometimes that's how great things start, as in the simplest way possible.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I love it. I love it. And, you know, we are now, we are in November, and the new year, 2015, is getting closer and closer. What plans do you have for the new year? Is there something that you can share with us?
Yeah, 2015 is an astronomical year for me as an artist and for the Music Spring. We have some really amazing things coming that we can't really announce yet, but we will in the coming months. So that's why I really strongly urge everyone to jump on the mailing list, and you'll be the first to find out about them. But from an artist perspective, we have an extraordinary project starting next year. It's a world first, never been done in the music business before. So history making. I'm going to be co-writing my next album with my fans.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's a huge project. It's a $1.3 million project. We have a rock star production team flying out from LA to Australia to be a part of that. It's awesome. The idea is that the album will be called Love and Other Delusions, and it's a two-year journey around the subject matter. And the goal is to create a global community around the discussion of love and other delusions. And I guess we mark that journey with a tour at the end of it, where we tour the album and we tour the art exhibition that comes from that. So we'll be exploring, you know, when we're kids, we have this idea of what love is, and we learn that from fairy tales and from movies and from the relationships of the adults that we see around us. But then when we grow up and we start to experience love for ourselves, it rarely ever looks like what we expected it to. And that gap between what we thought it was and what we experience it to be is what I call the delusion. And I think that that delusion really messes with our experience of love. And so we're going to build a community around that discussion. We're going to share stories, and we're going to explore that gap and see what comes of that, and see what artwork comes from those painful experiences and those joyful experiences and those, you know, those confusing experiences that people have, like, you know, equal right to marriage.
Mm-hmm.
That's a confusing topic that people are telling us that they want to address during this album. So, you know, we all have painful stories around love, and I think if we had a better understanding from when we were kids of what love actually was like, there'd be a lot less of those painful experiences. And, of course, we all have joyful experiences around love. So sharing all of those and building a community around it and creating an engaging experience that includes a absolutely exciting virtual reality experience that's going to be had around that whole thing. There's lots of technology going to be associated with this album. So we're very, very excited.
That's, you know, that's so inspiring. And to tell you the truth, I can't wait to hear more about that and to find out more about that. And guys, you just heard it. If you want to participate in a kind of groundbreaking project, in a pioneer project in the music industry, you don't want to miss the opportunity to be part of Lisa Farr's next album. Lee, I want to thank you so much, first of all, for being a Wonder Woman of the music industry.
Thank you.
For the great things you do at the Music Spring and for stopping by at the Jazz Spotlight to tell us a bit more about the great things you are doing and also to give out some tips about people that want to turn their career around and they want to make a decision and want to choose.
Thank you so much for having me, Jan. It's been such a pleasure to be a part of the show.
All right. Thank you.
All right. We are back. Lee, what can I say? Really, thank you so much for being here on the podcast, telling us more about the great things you are doing with the Music Spring and for giving out some tips on music entrepreneurship. I really appreciate you taking the time to provide the listeners with so much value. Like always, guys, you hear sometimes I mention resources, like in this case, I mentioned Aweber, Lee mentioned MailChimp. When my guests and I mention different resources, we mention those that we think are the very best, those that we use. And in certain cases, I will mention you some resources that I actually have an affiliate for. So if it's a premium resource, something you have to pay for, I will get a commission if you decide to buy through my link. But I don't do that only to make the money because it's a small commission for me. The first thing on my mind is providing you with value. So I only want to share resources that I know are great and they can really help you. You know, I just wanted to make this clear once again. And especially if this is your first episode listening to the Jazz Spotlight podcast, then welcome, first of all. And secondly, this is kind of a disclaimer, so you know about sometimes the tools that are shared here on the podcast. All right, enough with the disclaimers. Let's go back to the podcast itself and let's talk about next week because it's going to be epic. There's going to be so much value and we're going to talk about something that I'm sure that if you're a musician, you really have close at heart. On Tuesday, we're going to talk about rights, so music rights, different kind of rights. So the things you should think about and you should know, but also other things like how to monetize on YouTube. So if you're thinking about how you can make a couple of extra bucks and you've heard the buzz around YouTube monetization, you don't want to miss that episode. So on Tuesday and on Thursday, we're going to continue to talk about music business. And in specific, we're going to talk about crowdfunding. Yeah, that's right. A full episode focused on crowdfunding, real case studies, real examples and actionable tips from someone from Kickstarter. Like always, I want to thank you for being with me, for making me part of your day. And I want to remind you that you can find all the episodes of the podcast on iTunes at thejazzpodcast.com/show. And when you visit that page, make sure to hit the subscribe button so you get all the latest episodes on your iPhone or tablet or computer as soon as they're published. And also you can find more tips on the blog at thejazzpodcast.com/blog. You can find more great music business and marketing tips there. I'm Jan Ilunga and you've listened to the Jazz Spotlight podcast. Thank you for listening and have a great weekend.